Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. We'll be facing a theological, doctrinal, denominational, religious issue today that I am prayerful we get all of our attention and cause us to recognize where we are as a society today in the whole, how would you say, melee of religions and what is said and what is biblical and therefore what ought to be eked out for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, not based on ideological, philosophical rhetoric, not based on denominational dogma. We have the rites, the rituals, the rules, and the regulations without foundation in the Word of God. And we're finding more of that in the society in which we're living today. We need to understand that the source book for all truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not based on what I think or say. It's based on what the Word of God says. That's the only thing that has absolute eternal authority is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So I commend it to you today as we face the issues. We're going to be asking, who is Pope Francis? Who is Pope Francis? Do we really want to know? Are we interested? Some of the things he's saying and some of the new policies and positions theologically and doctrinally that he's taking a stand on should cause us to listen up as to what's taking place on a global international basis. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so with a biblical worldview. What does the Bible say? How should we respond to what the Scripture says? Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And so when we look at truth, we look at Jesus. As we look at Jesus, we're looking at the Scripture. We need to speak the truth in love. In fact, in Zechariah 8:6, the Scripture says, speak every man truth to his neighbor. What is truth? It is the truth of the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment, the hurricane cleanup equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, showing you, teaching you, and answering all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, located right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's right where the gigantic flag flies. Look up at that gigantic flagpole. It's the Old Glory flowing 24/7. And you look down at the foot of that flagpole, and you find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about it. I'm going to have an elongated monologue today. And after the elongated monologue, I invite you to call. I'd like to hear from you today, 831-0917, 831-0917. 0917 is the telephone call-in number. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. There's some things I'll say today that if you're a Catholic, you should be concerned. If you're a Catholic and you're not concerned, you'll probably get upset. But I invite you to stay tuned anyway. I invite you to listen very carefully to this whole broadcast today, because it's the latter half of the broadcast that I bring out the real serious points as to why I am discussing this and the issues at hand. And by the way, let me just simply say this. There are multitudes of Catholics that I believe have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But it's my most humble opinion, once you have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you want to be in a religious denomination. You want to be in a church where the Word of God is proclaimed, where Jesus Christ is exalted and not Mary, where the pastor, preacher, teacher simply communicates, is the messenger for the communication of the Word of God, and where the pastor, preacher, teacher is not speaking ex cathedra, where speaking as being God himself, as is the position of Roman Catholicism and the Pope today. It's scary to me, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in Roman Catholic history, we see a Pope that is like a religious whirlwind. He's making waves around the world. Some of the things he is advocating would be laughable if spoken by an evangelical leader. Some of the things the Pope is saying today and some of the basic statements that he is making in relationship to God and the Bible and to Jesus and to theology and doctrine. If an evangelical leader, if I were to say these things on an international level, it would be absolutely laughed at and mocked at, ridiculed, rejected out of hand. But because it's the Pope saying it somehow, some way, it's supposed to be true. Because as you know, in Catholic doctrine and dogma, when the Pope speaks, it's called ex cathedra. We'll talk about that later. Ex cathedra simply means that he is the mouthpiece of God. So when he speaks, it's God speaking. And so the fake media and much of those in the media today are hiding behind the shield of Catholicism for their faith, for their religion. And as a result of that, they will regurgitate and restate what the Pope has said as though it is directly from God, because that is the way it is believed. What are some of the things that's taking place today? Historically, what I want to do is go just through a quick rundown of Catholic theology and belief, and then the latter portion of the broadcast, we're going to be talking about what the Pope is saying that's antithetical to even that theology and that doctrine and that belief system. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. I believe we're watching across the globe today as the Pope in his travels around the world. I believe we're watching the formation and the early stages of what will ultimately be the universal church, the one world church, the global church. Revelation 17 calls it the great whore. It's the mystery Babylon, as it is referred to. We're going to look at some of those verses and analyze what we're seeing and what we're hearing in light of what those verses say. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the second thing is that we, and we'll talk about it further in this broadcast, we're watching the wedding of, the marriage of, the amalgamation of all of the religions around the globe into that Roman Catholic agenda that you see as referred to the great whore, the apostate church, in Revelation chapter 17. Now, you have the perfect right and opportunity to counter what I'm saying, to ask questions about what I'm saying. This is a question and answer dialogue broadcast program. It is designed, as I've said many times, I'm an equal opportunity offender. And so, therefore, I'm not going to cut any corners. It's not a matter of me trying to bow to correctness, politically speaking. It's not a matter of me wanting to appease or to tiptoe around that I might not step on your toenails and somehow might not get you upset. That's not the aim, end aim and goal and responsibility I have in this broadcast. This broadcast is called Let's Face the Issues. And doing so, we will face the issues in love, but without any hedging of what is absolutely theologically, doctrinally, biblically authoritative. Authority based on the Word of God. So when we talk about Roman Catholicism and we want to analyze the Pope, we want to analyze what the Pope is saying and doing, but we need to first understand some general theological doctrinal beliefs within the realm of Roman Catholicism. When I teach in the university, on the university and college level, comparative theologies, one of those comparative theologies happens to be, and it takes a major part of the semester in teaching the comparative theologies, and I go through many of them, and some of the first two or three we talk about is that of Roman Catholicism. In Roman Catholicism, they have 15 additional books in their Bible. It is called the Apocryphal Books. These books were not viewed as being canonical. That is, they were not viewed as being inspired of God, so therefore they're not put in the canon of Scripture that we call the Bible today. Secondly, they believe that Mary was and continues to be a virgin, notwithstanding the fact that the Bible declares that Jesus had other brothers and sisters, i.e., Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Now, I know that might break some hearts, and that might get some uproar, folks uproared. You might get a little, your hair might get on fire with some of the things that I'm going to say. But I need to lay the foundation to going to the major fanatical, if you please, antithetical to all Scripture, what the Pope is saying and doing and teaching today. Third thing is, Catholics believe that Peter was the first pope, that when Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church," he was talking about Peter, the first pope. But there's no indication any place in historical records, any place on the face of the globe, that Peter ever visited, much less remained in Rome to become the first pope. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," found in Matthew 16, verse 18 and following. It is on that confession of his faith, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," that the Bible is speaking of, Jesus is speaking of, that it's on this rock, the rock of that profession of faith of Peter, that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's on that profession of his faith that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built upon. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all that text is saying in Matthew 16, 18 and following. But somehow, some way, it has been perverted. Because the Roman Catholicism did not come into existence as a religious denomination, as it would be called, until somewhere between the 3rd and the 5th century. And yet they're claiming that Peter was the first pope, and that is simply not true at all. Number four, they teach that just as Christ is divine, so also the Catholic Church is divine. That Mary and the Catholic Church, the two women, as it is referred to by Catholic dogma, that it's on those two that you place your faith in. Ladies and gentlemen, you can place your faith in any church, any denomination, any pastor, preacher, pope you want to, and die and go to hell. The only way a person is saved is by placing our faith and trust and confidence in the rich red royal blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. There's no other hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, as the old song says. Ladies and gentlemen, the fifth thing that we need to understand is some of the basic dogma in relationship to Catholicism today. They teach the infallibility of the Pope, that when he speaks, God is speaking. It's called ex cathedra, ex cathedra. That is, that when the Pope speaks, it's God speaking. So therefore, when God speaks, you listen, you learn, and you say yes. You're obedient to God's word. Now, that is true when it comes to the Word of God. That is true when God speaks. And when you study the Scripture from Genesis through the book of the Revelation, it is God's revelation of himself to man. And so as God reveals himself to man throughout the Scripture, we are to look at the Scripture and understand this is God speaking. But ladies and gentlemen, when the Pope speaks, it is not God. It is antithetical to anything that's called biblical, theological, doctrinal truth to say that when the Pope speaks, it's God speaking. We need to understand that that's simply not true theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, when the Pope speaks, he is speaking as the authority of God himself. Now listen, when a pastor, preacher, teacher expounds and exposes and preaches and teaches in the pulpit the Word of God, he is saying this is what God's Word says. He's not saying, "I'm God and I'm telling you this." God forbid that that ever happen. But ladies and gentlemen, the seventh thing, Catholics teach that if you aren't good enough to go to heaven when you die. Now, I like this because the Holy See centuries ago was built on the backs of poor peasant Catholics that believe this garbage, if I can call it that, and as a result of that, paid the Pope and paid the church and paid the priest in order to be prayed out of purgatory. But Catholic doctrine teaches that if you're not good enough to go to heaven, then you can go to purgatory and you can stay in purgatory and languish there until you pay the priest to pray them out of purgatory. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not one thing in the Scripture that would indicate there is any such thing called purgatory. Purgatory has never existed. It does not exist today. And if you're paying any priest, any man that claims that he can pray your loved one out of purgatory, then you're listening to a demonic lie and you're wasting God's dollars he's placed in your pocket. And the idea behind the purgatory is to simply make money off those that are illiterate, unlearned, and anemic, and not knowing the Word of God. The eighth thing, within the realm of Roman Catholicism that needs to be understood is they teach that Mary is the mother of God, and thus you pray to Mary for her to intercede before God for your prayers to be answered. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no place in the scripture that would validate that. Here's an article, for example, that says Pope Francis declares that Mary is the month of May is the month of Mary, and commands all Catholics everywhere to entrust themselves to her, that is Mary's protection. This introductory portion of this article says in many countries, Mary is the month of May. May is the month of Mary. May the Mother of God accompany us and protect Christians in fighting against the forces of evil, this article says. Let us entrust ourselves to her and pray for the church and the peace in the world. This article says Pope Francis today, took time out to remind Catholics around the world that Mary is their protector. Mary is their life. Mary is their light. He reminds Catholics that Mary is the queen of the month of May, and told them to put their lives and their trust in her hands. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not respect or veneration. This is old-fashioned idol worship. It is the Roman Catholic doctrine and teaching of the worship of Mary. And it is absolutely sad, ladies and gentlemen, to find this teaching being inculcated in the hearts and the lives of multitudes that think that somehow, some way, they're pleasing God and appeasing God by worshiping Mary and praying to Mary. In fact, it is a sad scenario where we see these things taking place, and there are those across the globe where somehow, some way, there's a feeling that Mary ought to be venerated and worshiped in some fashion. Here's an article that says, worshippers flock to Holy Trinity Church in Chicago to bow down and pray before an icon of the Virgin Mary that started weeping oil-like substances. Some worshippers, this article says, some worshippers see a sign from God after a caretaker at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Chicago saw what looked like tears pouring from the Virgin Mary's eyes, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad but true scenario that multitudes, they are blinded, demonic blindness, into believing that Mary is somehow, some way, to be worshipped and venerated and bowed to and prayed to. Ladies and gentlemen, the ninth thing in Roman Catholicism, they teach that Mary is entirely holy and free from sin. Entire holy and free from sin. In fact, here's an article that validates that teaching that is found today. Pope Francis says, Jesus is not our hope. Mary and the Mother Church are the only hope we have. Dated April 28, 2019, Pope Francis says, Jesus is not our hope. Mary and the Mother Church are our only hope. Further, he says, and this is our hope. We're not orphans. We have mothers. Mother Mater, he says, Mother Mary, but the church is mother, and the Mother Church is anointed when it takes the same path of Jesus and Mary, the path of obedience, the path of suffering, when she has the attitude of continually learning the path of the Lord. These two women, the Pope says, listen, these two women, speaking of Mary and the church, these two women, the Pope says, Mary and the church carry on the hope that is Christ. They give us Christ, that is Mary and the church. They bring forth Jesus in us. Without Mary, there would be no Jesus, and without the church, we could not go forward to heaven. He further says, Jesus has been, in this article, the writer says, Jesus has now been demoted to third place behind Mother Mary and the Holy Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible says, however, that the blessed hope of the Christian is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, end quote. The scripture never mentions Mary one time as being the hope of anything or anyone. But if you're Catholic, Francis says that today we can go forward with hope, the hope of Mother Mary, steadfast at the cross, and our Holy Mother, the hierarchical church, is what he's referring to, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad factor that is taking place on a global basis. And I want you to understand, I'm getting to an ultimate point, a crescendo of what we want to realize in what the Pope is saying and doing. And let me just give you a little scenario, and we'll talk about it in greater detail. He is in the process, has already signed a pact, a peace pact with Islam. He is in the process of signing a covenant with Gaia, G-A-I-A, worship. That is Mother Earth worship coming out of the Native Indians of America. He has said that the homosexual couples and homosexuality is not sin, that God created you that way. And I could go on and on. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a global false prophet. Whether he is the ultimate false prophet in the Revelation text or not, only God knows. But he is a global false prophet. If you'd like to counter that, please do so. You can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 gets you to the telephones, right to our studios, and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion. If you'd like to add, as some people call it, your 2 cents worth, that's wonderful. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as an elongated monologue introduction to where we want to go in this broadcast today, we're talking about what is taught in Roman Catholicism. Number 10, taking of the Eucharist is taking of Christ's holiness into oneself. When a Roman Catholic goes to Eucharist, we call it in evangelicalism today, we call it within the church, it is an ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The two ordinances, the ordinance of baptism, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But in Roman Catholicism, it's referred to taking the Eucharist, and when you put that wafer on your tongue and bring it into your body, you're taking on Christ's holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the farthest thing from the truth of Scripture. You can't put Jesus in your mouth and take on holiness because you put a wafer in your mouth, and that's what is being taught within the realm of Roman Catholicism today. You can, the 11th thing in Roman Catholicism, you can confess your sins to the priest and thus be forgiven of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you talk with a priest, ask him if people can confess their sins and he can forgive them. If he says yes, say, well, who do you go to have your sins forgiven? If that is the case, why not just cut out the middleman, as I call it? Why go to the man in the box and ask him to forgive you your sins when you can go to the Father in heaven and ask for forgiveness of sins? Ladies and gentlemen, that is antithetical to biblical truth. No place in the Scripture that says, and where Jesus would ever indicate, where any of the parallel synoptic gospels will tell us to go to a man to ask for forgiveness of man's sins. The 12th thing. You can call the priest father, notwithstanding the fact that the biblical warning is that call no man father except God your heavenly father. That is found in Matthew 23, verse 9. And yet there are multitudes of people today that will refer to the priest as father. Father. Well, he may be a father from the human standpoint. He may have sons and daughters, if that is possible. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not our heavenly father. We're admonished not to call anyone father except our heavenly father. Number 13, ladies and gentlemen, salvation is believing Jesus and the Catholic Church. Salvation is a works religion. They will say, yes, we believe in Jesus, but the Pope has already said, as has all of the other previous popes, that if a person dies outside the Catholic Church, he will go to hell. If he dies without being faithful and obedient to the rules, the regulations, the guidelines and the laws and the encyclicals in the Roman Catholic Church, he will not go to heaven. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, in Roman Catholicism, salvation is not based on faith alone in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus plus works, Jesus plus the Eucharist, Jesus plus Mary, Jesus plus the church, etc., etc., etc. You understand what I'm saying? When in reality, salvation is Jesus Christ only, Jesus alone. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing is Roman Catholics teach that you can be christened as a baby, baptized, as they call it, as a baby, and you're baptized into the Catholic Church. There are multitudes, millions today in Roman Catholicism that are in a hand-me-down heirloom religion. Let me simply say this, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that the overwhelming majority of those in Roman Catholicism today do not know the doctrines of Roman Catholicism, do not know the doctrines of the church as it would be, of what the Roman Catholicism teaches, I believe that if it's a person that is seriously interested in biblical salvation, that's seriously interested in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if he is seriously interested, will study the background of the history of Roman Catholicism and what it stands for yesterday, today, and what it continues to stand for, it would frighten their socks off. They'd be out of the church in a heartbeat. But it's because most, and may I say, sadly, most denominations today, including Baptists, do not know what the doctrines of the church are. They do not know what is being taught and why it's being taught and where these doctrinal beliefs come from and where they're rooted in the scripture, rooted in tradition, or in denominationalism and the dogma that is found therein. So, ladies and gentlemen, we could continue with the whole gamut of what is believed in Roman Catholicism and their doctrines and their teachings. But ladies and gentlemen, even though we could continue that, the whole point is that Catholicism is a system of religion not based on real relationship to Jesus Christ. Roman Catholicism is a religion, not a relationship. It is a religion that's built on works and built on deeds and built on staying in harmony with what is required of Roman Catholicism, not based on that relationship. Now, I know perhaps you would be, there would be an exception here and there. I know perhaps that it's a possibility there would be some that would say, well, I've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Let me say to you, if you're in Roman Catholicism and you've truly said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, ask God through the Holy Spirit to give you illumination as you study the Word. Ask God to give you illumination and wisdom to make the determination and come to the understanding of, am I in a church where Jesus Christ is exalted, or is it a church where Mary is exalted? Is it a church where 10 Hail Marys must be carried out and the rosary beads must be grasped and clasped and there must be a recognition of the Pope's final authority, or is it the Word of God that's the final authority? I challenge you, I urge you, I encourage you today, ladies and gentlemen, to make that differentiation and that decision and understand the difference of what there is in relationship to your relationship to Jesus Christ if you're saved. Perhaps the whole issue is that most members of most churches do not know the real doctrines of their denomination. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing some very serious positions and public statements Pope Francis. We must first of all, ladies and gentlemen, realize that the Pope is an Argentinian communist. Listen, when it comes to his philosophical, ideological, political position, he is a communist. Now, you can differ with me until Jesus comes, but you can go back and study his background, his history, his roots, and you can look at his upbringing and where he comes from. You can look at the political agenda in his part of the world and recognize why he says some of the things that he says. And it will stagger your imagination to understand and to recognize that when he talks about, and we'll talk about this further in the broadcast, when he talks about the fact that we ought not to have borders, he is a borderless believer. He believes that somehow, some way, you ought to be a one world governance, and that one world governance, in his opinion, his position, I'll read you the statement later in the broadcast, he wants a global humanism. Global humanism. He doesn't want borders any place. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pope made some very alarming statements about religion and the truths of religion and spirituality in the past 24 months, some of which I could go into great detail in and of themselves. We're going to talk about these things that he said. In fact, there's about 7 or 8 or 10 things that he said as far as what I call wild, way out, unusual statements that undermines anything that's said about biblical theological truth whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is dangerous for us not to understand the truth of the Word of God. It's dangerous to be in a world today where an individual says, I love Jesus, but I'm ignorant of the Scripture. It's an impossibility to say, I love Jesus, and not want to study the Word, inculcate the Word, memorize the Word, and let the Word of God be the first, foremost, and final authoritative position in our lives, and not some pope, or not some dogma, not some philosophical, ideological belief system. And that's what Roman Catholicism is. For example, we're going to talk about it after the broadcast, after the break. We're going to have about a 1-minute break, and after our break, we have the top of the hour news, and I encourage you to stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. Come back. We're going to finish this very imperative, important, challenging broadcast today on facing the issue with the question, who is Pope Francis?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.